Welcome, everyone, to Country Joe's Chicken Show here at countryjoeschickenshow.com, BBS Radio, and anywhere it's heard. And I am Karen Watts, also known as Karen at petoftheday.com. And we have with us the eponymous Joe Barber, Country Joe himself.
Hello, here I am.
You and the chickens and the turkeys already.
Yep.
And we have our first guest today, who is Becky Yoder. And she works at a nursing home called Pine Village in Kansas, where she, as one of the programs, has brought chickens to the nursing home. And I'll let Becky tell us more about that. Welcome to Country Joe's Chicken Show, Becky.
Well, Karen and Joe, it is a pleasure and an honor to be here. I am just so excited about this. But absolutely. We have brought the chickens to the nursing home, and it's been a fun project. We call it our chicken project here at Pine Village, and we are in south central Kansas. We're located in Moundridge, Kansas, and we are actually a mile south of Moundridge, so we're actually in a very rural area. And Moundridge itself proper is only 1,500 people, kind of set the stage for all your listeners out there.
Wow. Right. Now, who thought of this idea, Becky?
Actually, it's been in the works for several years. I'm a farmer. My husband and I have a farm that's 22 miles east of where Pine Village is. So we've had chickens forever, and our boys were in 4-H and raised all these different kinds of chickens. And so we know how beneficial chickens are, those mm-hmm. of us that have them, right?
Right,
no.
Yes.
I mean, the chickens have really, if you look historically, have really saved many, many families. You know, back in the Depression, what did people have? They
right.
had chickens, right? And
very
what did the
easy
chickens
to take care
provide
of.
For them? The chickens provided eggs, the chickens provided meat, the chickens
and
provided
fertilizer.
Love, you know? And so mm-hmm. Our family have always had an attachment to chickens. And our nursing home here, we're a retirement facility as well as called a continuing care. So we have four levels. So we have independent living, we have assisted living, we have our nursing home, and then we have a dementia unit.
Mm-hmm.
Predominantly, our residents came from farming background. Okay. And
yep.
so what we've instigated here, or here in Kansas and really throughout the country, is called culture change. And what that is, we're trying to take the institutional model out of nursing homes. So when you hear that word, typically that brings red flags and it just takes people out
and
of their comfort zones, right? Absolutely.
Right.
Am I right?
And that smell and tile halls.
Yes.
And,
right.
You know.
Because
mm-hmm.
nursing homes were actually designed off a hospital model, you know, long hallways, you know, rooms on either side.
Right.
So
right.
with the culture change, what we're trying to do is make it home for our residents, home-like, every aspect, physical, just their choices. They can choose to eat what they want. They can choose to get up when they want. And so there's physical things like in our building that we've changed, you know, like we have neighborhoods now. Instead of hallways, and we have living rooms and kitchens and washers and dryers. So if you walked in, it would look like your home. Because
wow.
that's what we're trying to do with, you know, Kansas is really moving forward with this pretty fast.
And of course, what makes a home more of a home than having animals?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so chickens, I've been actually kind of putting that bug in my administrator's ear for several years now. And I said, you know, we really need chickens out here. I mean, mm-hmm. the residents would love the chickens. I mean, they raised chickens. They grew up with chickens. You know, what more home-like, you know, would it be than to have chickens out here for our residents? So he finally gave me the okay, like, at the end of 2013. So that got my feet on the ground. And so I got an incubator. We actually got some fertilized eggs, and we actually started from ground zero.
Wow.
So we got the incubator, and we actually had eggs were donated by, well, this Good Shepherd Poultry Ranch, which is about 30 miles from here, and he does all the heritage breeds.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so we actually have these heritage, which makes it even more special. We have the heritage. We have Cornish Rock and Barred Rock. He has like 12 different breeds of chickens, and then he does turkeys and ducks and geese and all this. But it's all that original bloodline back from the 1800s.
Hey, wow.
We have, one of our staff people, Derek O'Dell, actually works out there, or had worked out there for about 8 years, so we got that connection. And so he gave us these eggs, and we put them in the incubator, and I did a little in-house blog. And the interesting thing, so people would come out and look at the eggs, and, you know, he'd say, this is day number 19, this is day number whatever. And we would get our, you know, we want to get staff engaged, we want to get residents engaged. So the interesting thing was the residents who are all come from predominantly rural backgrounds, you know, this was not really a new thing for them. You know, oh, yeah, we did that, you know, or my mom. You know, we'd get 100 capons and da-da-da-da. But it was our staff. That was kind of the pleasant surprise for me. It was a good educational tool, seriously, because people really don't know where their food comes from, do they?
No.
You have to tell Joe the story you told me of what one staff person asked you.
Yeah, and you know, I'm an educator, so I love educating people, so... You know, I there are all these questions that started coming up as we started incubating the eggs and doing those kinds of things. And I had one of the staff come up to me and say, Becky, what is a rooster? Seriously. And, you know, I felt good because she felt comfortable enough to ask me that question. But, I think people generalize, you know, like when you say cattle, you know, that's your general term for your heifers and your steers and your bulls. So I just thought maybe she thought rooster was the kind of that general term. And I said, well, you know, a rooster's a male. So anyway, so, you know, and so we
and
went
that's
through.
That's the kind of thing that, you know, we think everybody knows.
We do. Mm-hmm. And you think, you know, especially if you come from a farming background and you've raised your own food and you have your garden and we also, by the way, we also have neighborhood gardens that we started as well, which we're actually eating the food that we grow.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, right now they're raised gardens. They're 4x6s, 4x8s. And so we don't have a whole lot yet, but it's been a start. So whatever we raise, we serve. So that's been fun, too, for staff and residents, because that's another story. But... You know, then after the eggs started hatching, you know, people would come down and we had a big, you know, big thing where people could come and watch the eggs, you know, the chicks start hatching. Then I made a little brooder with a little stock tank and a heat lamp. So then, residents and staff could come down and watch the chickens grow and develop and, you know, ask questions. Then once they got, you know, too big for the brooder, then we moved them out. We got a chicken tractor. So that was in May. They actually were hatched about Easter time. And so then we moved them out. It was probably mid-May out into, we have a courtyard. It's really kind of cool. Our main dining room faces the east. There's a big plate glass windows all east. And so we have a courtyard where the chicken tractor is. And then our gardens are out there as well. So, we have.
I'm gonna stop you right there. We're running out of time for this segment.
Are we?
It's kind of neat that people can. Yeah, I know, Joe. I know you hate when I say that.
is that like my segment's over?
No. Not yet.
My segment's over.
Hang right on. Yeah, we're gonna have you right back.
One more.
Okay.
Hang on.
Oh,
God, yes.
Folks,
okay.
We'll be right back with more Country Joe's Chicken Show.
Thank you.
Yeah. We are back with Country Joe's Chicken Show, and Joe and I are talking with Becky Yoder from Pine Village in Kansas about having chickens at a nursing home. Now, you had people watching the chicks hatch. Did guests, were there certain residents who like had to come down every day and see how many eggs were cracked or how many had hatched and everything?
Looking at them daily, and even more, you know, even more than one time a day. You know, it was so neat to watch because once they hatched, we had them in the brooder. You know, we had all these our registered nurses, and they are all city gals. And, you know, they'd come down, and they had them all named, and they'd, you know, hold them and kind of pet them. I said,
wow.
And, they, you know, then they're wanting to know, well, what are we going to do with them? And, you know, are we going to eat them? I said, no, you don't eat your pets. Karen and I had that conversation. You never eat your pets, right, Karen?
If you give them a name
not.
And you pet them and make them very friendly, you know, then they're not going to be food. But they can help provide fertilizer for the gardens you're growing.
That's right. Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. But, yeah, and then, you know, the other really neat thing about this, you know, the whole community got excited about our marketing director, Shelby Shaw. We have a Facebook page that she is in charge of. So I'd take pictures, and then she'd post these pictures on our Facebook page, our Pine Village Facebook page. And, mm-hmm. you know, we'd get people from the community coming just to come
wow.
out and look at them, which is fun. You know, that's what we want.
Yeah, but, when was the last time before this that you had random people from the community come to a nursing home?
Well, you know, that's one of the pieces of the culture change, that we want to get young people in to do the intergenerational things, you know, and that was a good tool as well to get some of that intergenerational things kind of going. Mm-hmm. And you, like I say, I know Karen had seen some of those pictures, and it was the one little picture of little Jesse that he's four, and he had I took a picture of him with a little chick, probably a three-day-old chick he was holding. And he is actually one of our independent living residents' great-grandson. And he's, you know, they would come in and check the chicks. And then on, you know, now that they're out in the chicken tractor outside, people will come. Even on weekends, they'll come and look at the chickens. So it's just been a phenomenal thing. And I call them chicken chores. Because I get here before six, and then I go out and do, you know, you got to do chores, right? You
mm-hmm.
only have a few
That's
chickens,
right.
you stop to do chores every day. Mm-hmm. So typically there's some early bird residents, so they're in our dining room eating their breakfast, and I have this one resident, this one man, every day he does chicken chores with me. So he goes out, and we do Pine Village chicken chores. We've got a couple roosters, so they're crowing. And Friday morning when I was getting ready to go out, you could hear the roosters crowing. And I was talking with one of our residents, and I said, Florine, can't you hear those roosters crowing? Isn't that neat? And she goes, it is. That is just so nice. And then she proceeded to tell me stories of when she was growing up on the farm and how the roosters would crow. When she was a girl. So that's part of that culture change as well, you know.
And, you know, it's so, you can't think of a chicken without getting sort of a warm feeling about,
I know.
Because they're, you know, they've got personalities, but they're also living little creatures that if you raise them right, you can pet them.
Yes, absolutely.
And the residents can interact with them. And, you know, when I was a little girl, my great uncle ended up getting very sick, and he was in the hospital. And he had Alzheimer's after a time. And I went in one day, and one of the things I noticed was that he had lost the use of language. First, he lost the use of English, and then he reverted to French, which he spoke as a child.
Yes.
And then he lost language entirely. But he was sitting there doing something with his hands. And I looked at my dad, and I said, Dad, what is he doing? And he said, oh, if you look at his hand motions, he is candling eggs.
Oh, wow.
And that was just, you know.
Yes.
So those are such fundamental parts of people's growing
Absolutely.
up.
Absolutely.
God. Now, how many chickens do you have out there?
No, we have five.
Five?
Five, which for the beginning of this project is actually probably a good number.
Uh-huh.
I'm hoping that we can do a little bit of expansion, because I could see, because now people are asking about, you know, the eggs. I could
right.
see getting a few more and putting them in another part of our, on our campus, because we have some open areas on the campus where we always have our chicken tractor with a few chickens in our courtyard right off our main dining room. So, you know, people can always go out and see those and then maybe have some more in a different area on our campus. So maybe we could produce more, you know, eggs.
Well, that's what I was thinking, you know, because everybody there eats eggs, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, obviously, we'd have to have a huge, huge flock to produce enough to feed every single resident. But, you know, it's just like our gardens. You know, we're starting small, and we are eating what we're growing. And all the things we grow are, it's chemical-free. And the residents help plant it, and they help weed it, and help pick it. And, you know, just like home. You know,
what an idea. Yeah, that's a great idea.
And like I say, the surprising part has been the education piece with our staff, because they just don't have a background like that. Whereas our residents do, because predominantly they're farmers, you know.
Right, but now that, you know, you have that great-grandson in and you're teaching the staff, so you're actually, the program is not only bringing chickens to different generations, but it's raising a whole new generation of kids who will be interested in chickens, because they got, you know, when they go to visit their grandparent, they see these chickens, and of course, if a child sees a child is going to be interested in the chicken and want to touch it, pet it.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, now... in your bigger cities, I know you guys live in the big cities, but you know a lot of people have the backyard chickens. You know, they have a little chicken tractor. They have 3-4 hens, so they have enough. You know, those hens will lay 3 or 4 eggs a day, enough to feed the family. And so that is kind of a wave that's going across our country too.
It is.
That,
it's very
backyard chickens. You know, where they are, I mean, even in the city, because most cities, they allow you to have a couple hens. You can't have roosters, obviously.
Right.
But they'll allow you to have hens and, you know, hens contained within your backyard. And those chicken tractors, you know, obviously are the ideal thing for that, because they're on grass. They've got their portable little chicken coop up in the roost, so they can go up on, walk up the ramp, because ours has a little ramp. They walk up and they roost up there. Have a couple nesting boxes, and then they can always be on fresh grass, because we move it every day onto fresh grass.
Right. You know, I'm gonna stop you there. We're running out of time for you with us,
this
Becky.
This has been so fun.
Yeah, I know.
It has
it
been.
Is.
You guys are great. You guys are doing a wonderful thing. You know that? Getting out there and educating people about how the benefits of chickens, I mean chickens, like you say. Chickens have saved the world.
You know, Joe, you're going to have to play this for some nursing homes down in your area. So if you happen to retire, you know, you can go to a place and run their chicken program for them.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah.
Absolutely.
Does everybody at the nursing home listen to the Country Joe's Chicken Show?
Well, they're going to now.
They are?
They are going to now. Absolutely. Yes.
That would be interesting.
Yeah. You bet.
You know,
you bet.
Is there a website or anything, any way for people to get in touch with you, Becky, if they want to, you know, think about this kind of program for their facility?
You know, if they would just Google Pine Village, and you could do Pine Village, and we're in Moundridge, Kansas, or just Pine Village, Kansas, or Pine Village Retirement Home, they would get our website. It would probably pop up first.
Sure.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, we'll have you back on here.
Great. And I want to thank you too as well.
Okay.
It's been a pleasure. Keep up the good work, guys.
Okay. Thanks, folks. We'll be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show. back to Country Joe's Chicken Show. Karen Watts here. You know, Joe, we were just talking with Becky Yoder about chickens at a nursing home. Had you ever heard of any such a program?
No. Boy, that's a novel idea, though. By God, it sounds like it's working pretty good over there. Yeah, I would have never thought of that, you know. But, boy, what a good idea that was, especially in a rural community anyway. You know, like you say, where most of those people were probably farmers in their younger time. You know, that's really great.
And I like it that they have it set up so that the chickens are in the courtyard so people can see them, you know, just have something interesting to look at.
And a hands-on project for everybody. You know, everybody can, you know, touch them, play with them, look at them, the whole deal. That is really, really, really interesting. It's a novel idea. It's, boy, I'll bet you that could pick up and be a real good thing, I think, everywhere.
Well, I really think so, too, especially because, as she mentioned, I know Kansas has a big push toward it, but I know in other parts of the country, people are trying to get more and more home-like at nursing homes.
Right, yeah.
And
what better way?
Yeah. What better way than hearing a rooster in the morning?
Of course, they're out in the country. Nobody cares, right?
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because if someone is in the city, we could always have them, you know, we talked about the rooster callers last week.
Yes, on
the show.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that's interesting. It really is. So, yeah, we could have talked to her a little bit more about that. See, you know, I wanted to see who thought it, you know, well, she told us briefly, but, you know.
Yeah, she thought of it herself. Mm-hmm. And
it sounds like it's really taken off there. Everybody's in on it, you know. It sounds like it's really going to go. So, but boy, that.
Yeah,
that
and one of the things she mentioned, I spoke to her on the phone ahead of time, mm-hmm. is that she has raised chickens for many years, and they decided on having the heritage breeds at the nursing home because they're sturdier.
Uh-huh.
And she had had some of the newer meat chickens that they were raising that got so heavy so fast that they would lie down and suffocate under their own weight as chicks.
Yep, that's true. That's true. Because I raise them.
Yeah, and so, you know, that's not something you want to put, you know, in front of people you're trying to cheer up. Well, I understand from our engineer, we have Will Lawrence with us now. Welcome to Country Joe's Chicken Show, Will.
Hello. Hey, Will. How you doing?
Great.
Good. How are you? Now, I understand you raise some interesting chickens.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I have a big variety. I like variety. I've never been one to be able to keep everything that was one, you know, all of one breed or something. But mm-hmm. I have a bunch of different stuff. I have Oriental game fowl, which are like Shamo, Thai, Malay, Acil, that type of bird. The birds I have are actually a blend of Thai and Acil with a little bit of some extra stuff added in. And I have a variety of birds that have fibromelanosis, which is the gene that silkies and Samanis have that make them black. The flesh is black.
Right.
So, you know, just a variety of those different, I've just, like, bred different kinds.
Uh-huh. Now, the Malays, I love Malays. I don't have any, but I'm going to get some. So do you have Malays there?
I don't have Malays. What I have is that whole family, which is, like I said, it's Malays, Shamos, yep. Saipan jungle fowl.
Right.
Thai. There's some called Brazilian, which is like, it's an Oriental type game fowl that has a little bit longer tail, but it's kind of looks like a tie. And that whole family is what they call, I guess they call Malayoid. So
yep.
It's, they're
are they all as tall as the Malay are, or similar in height? How tall are your birds?
Oh, my birds are not as tall as a Malay. Some of them are, they have longer necks and longer legs, and the way they stand, you know, different chickens have different postures. And the Malay family or Shamo family, they're very vertical. You know how, like, I guess Japs have, they're very forward in their body, their tail is very high. The Shamo, or Malay type, is a very vertical. They stand very vertical with their wings kind of up and down and their tail pointing either straight back or downward instead of upwards like most chickens have.
Uh-huh.
And so, they have longer legs.
They look showier.
Yeah, in a lot of ways. There is a show chicken, a small bird. It's a modern game, and they have a similar look, but they're not as heavy. The Malayoids have heavy bones. They're big bones and big heads and real muscular, a lot of muscle on them.
Uh-huh.
And that's what they're known for. And they're game chickens. So in the original, you know, land where they're bred, they fight these birds. And they're not like American-type game chickens. They're not super aggressive, and that's something that I think is a misconception about the Oriental game chickens is that generally, in my experience, and I guess I should preface everything with saying in my experience, but in my experience, the Oriental game are not super aggressive. They're not real prone to start a fight.
Uh-huh.
You don't want to start
and
a
so
fight
And so
that's one.
Something that it's a good sort of something to dispel the rumor that they're all just because they're tall and muscular doesn't mean they're going to want to fight either other chickens or with you.
They're definitely not man fighters. They're very much real friendly, easy to tame. They're calm disposition. And I've had some that want to fight you, but you don't see many of those. And the thing about them is they're not with another chicken. You can raise five of these Oriental game roosters on the yard together and let them run loose together and grow up together, and they'll be 2 years old and still never get in a fight. But,
wow.
But if another bird comes on the yard and starts a fight, they're going to kill him unless he goes up in a tree.
Mm-hmm.
If he flies, they love that they stay on the ground. Some chickens fly. And some chickens roost way up high. Those Oriental game chickens, they don't roost super high. They don't fly very much at all. They are built. You can look at them and tell they're built to walk. They look like an ostrich.
How many do you have?
So, do what?
Well, I'm gonna stop you right there because Joe's going to ask how many you have, and that's going to be more than a 30-second worth of answer. Joe hates when I do this, but we're running out of time for this segment. Will you stick with us?
I will.
Okay.
Absolutely, you know, and this is radio, so people can't see. So I will describe what he's describing as, you know, the way they stand. There are pictures of them, and they look almost like, you know, if your grandmother had roosters on her kitchen wallpaper. You know, they stand nice and tall and proud-looking birds, not the ones that you tend to see now. You know, a lot of the chickens that you see in factories or whatever tend to be low to the ground and look a little more humble than these guys do. Folks, we'll be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show here on CountryJoesChickenShow.com. Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show. And Joe and I are talking here with Will Lawrence. Now, Joe was just about to ask you how many chickens you have.
Yeah.
So I knew that was going to be a complicated answer.
It's not super complicated. I think we got them all in pens over the weekend, and I counted around 100.
100? Wow, that's
yeah,
more than
I expected. They're not all of the Malay type, you know, the Shamo type, I guess you'd say.
Right.
I got a bunch of different stuff, and I've never been able to keep anything pure. I've always, you know, I've bought birds, and people give me birds, and I've swapped for birds, and I just always bring them home and breed them to what I got and select to the genes that I like, you know.
Uh-huh.
Whatever I don't like, I take to the flea market and sell, or sale barn, or find somebody that wants some chickens and give them to them or something.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what you were mentioning before. You have some that these breeds that you have don't tend to be fighting chickens. And I imagine if you had one that was, you know, more of a man fighter, that he would just not stay around the flock very long.
Well, I don't like that, so I'm not going to keep something that's going to fight against me. The thing about game chickens is that you can, it's very easy when you outcross them to other stuff to get birds that are not going to fight each other to death and kill each other. In fact, if you are breeding game chickens, the hard part is to get birds that'll stay and keep fighting no matter how bad it hurts. So when you outcross to like long tail chickens or something, you know, lay-in chickens of some type, you get birds that will inherit a lot of the genes that you want from the game, which is that they make good mamas and they set good and, you know, they have enough sense to survive outside without something catching them. And, you know, when they hear an alarm, they don't just stand there and act stupid and let a hawk or a coyote or a dog something kill them. They'll go off and hide or fly up in a tree or something. And that's the whole point, is to breed birds that are productive as far as they produce eggs, they produce meat, but yet they got enough sense to get in out of the rain and keep from being avoided by.
Now, yours are all cage free, I assume, right? They're you let them run loose?
Yeah, I don't. Yep. Right now, I don't have a single chicken in a pen. Every bird I have at the moment is running loose because I have my adult birds that I'm not raising chicks right now intentionally.
Yep.
If a hen is outside and she can take a nest and go broody and hatch chicks, God bless her. Just let them bring her up. But this is not for me. I'm in the South, and the time to raise chicks for me, I found I get the best results turning my incubator on the last week of December and starting to hatch chicks the third week of January and hatch and raise chicks in the wintertime, because it's way easier to keep chicks warm enough in a brooder box than it is to keep chicks cool enough in a brooder box. Because if you're trying to keep them cool, you can't. And you get coccidiosis and you get worms and you get this stuff that you don't get in the wintertime. All you have to battle in the wintertime is you have to hope that the power don't go out. If the power goes out, you're done.
You're going to lose them.
Yeah.
No, yeah, where are you located, Will?
I'm in Georgia. I'm about 35 miles west of Atlanta.
Oh, wow.
So,
so you're north of where Joe is.
Yeah.
Where's Joe?
I'm down south of Daytona Beach.
Oh, yeah. I'm way north of you.
But you're
still way south of me up in Boston. Now, if I was going to hatch chicks in December, I would have to keep them warm for month upon month upon month upon month till it was nice enough for them to go outside.
Yeah, I have to do that. I mean, you can't just let them out anytime, because even here at nighttime in April, if they're too young, if they're not feathered out and you put them outside, they're all dead.
Yep.
They're not going to survive without a mama.
Right.
And in the wintertime, I have all my birds either paired up or in trios or pens where there's a rooster and six hens or whatever. And I I just take all the eggs out of the pens and put them straight in the incubator. And, you know, once a week I add them to the incubator. And every week I hatch chicks out and raise them in the brooder boxes. And I have insulated brooder boxes with, you know, lamps and everything. So I just found it's a lot easier to raise birds like that.
Yeah, sounds it. So, sounds, yeah. How big is your incubator? Do you have a big one? Or
it's like a GQF. Holds about almost, it's almost 300 eggs. And if I put, there's three different trays. So each tray is 96 eggs, I think. So every week I put a tray in there and take the oldest one out and put in the hatcher in the bottom. And every week you can hatch chicks for about 3 months. And then after that, you need to quit and let the hens do it, because if you try to do it in brooder boxes, once it warms up, you just don't have good luck. Or I don't, anyway.
So, interesting. Wow. So, you raised quite a few chickens then. So you must sell a lot or trade a lot.
Well, I, you know, it's about impossible to make any money doing it. So I don't even, like, if I was trying to do it for money, I'd be doing something else. Like, I have a job. But, in fact, that's how I make money, is I actually have a job. So, you know,
well, one of the things
you're not gonna go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say, you know, you raise all these birds and you try to sell some of them, and I mean, I got a bunch of nice stuff, and if you make a few really good sales, you know, some real nice birds and sell them, you spend a lot of money on feed. It's a hobby, and if you're lucky, it's cheaper than golf or having a boat or, you know, whatever else.
That's true.
And when you have chickens, you can share eggs with your neighbors. When you play golf, you know, people don't appreciate golf balls coming through their windows. So.
Well, they don't appreciate eggs coming through the window either. I promise you that much.
You know, when we come to our last segment, I want to ask you about the black chickens, because those, I saw a picture of those and I sent it to Joe. Yeah,
I did see
and
that.
And you said you know, they're so black, and they've got the black legs, the black skin, and the black feathers. And is that, you mentioned that's a gene from the Silkies.
Well, it's the same gene that Silkies have. I've never had a Silkie here, and none of these birds get that gene from Silkies as far as I know. I actually got a bird from a friend of mine in Washington, and I think that was in like 2007 or something. Mm-hmm. And he had that gene that makes the flesh black. It's called fibromelanosis. And I bred that bird to a bunch of hens and raised birds off of that, and I've just bred them and bred them and bred them, and now most of my birds have that.
And so if that was 2007, so you have what, a generation? How many generations per year can you go?
You can go two generations in a year if you breed birds that are 6 months old, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was wondering.
Yep.
Hurry the process along. But, and in some cases, I have birds that are seven generations, you know, from that bird. But a lot of the times, you know, you may find something in the third generation that you have a rooster you really like, and he's special, and you breed from him, and, well, all of his offspring will be fourth generation birds. But they could also be on the mother's side. They could be seven or eight generations. So it's just according to how you do it.
Well, you know,
anywhere you do that, anybody who does it, it's going to have a unique group of birds after 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to stop you guys both right there because we are running out of time for this segment. But I know Joe wants to talk about that with you. And so we'll be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show. welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show. And Joe and I are talking with Will Lawrence about, you know, breeding different chickens and breeding rare chickens. So is 6 months the optimal age, or what is the optimal age to breed a hen? Because I know it's probably different for hens than it is for roosters.
Well, I don't know that it's necessarily different, or that there's, you know, specifically an optimal age, but you definitely want to use hens that are laying normal eggs. And I mean eggs that are not super thick shells, super thin shells, little bitty eggs, big, you know, huge eggs. You want to use normal size eggs. And, you know, I mean, as far as a rooster's age, I've seen roosters that could breed a hen when they were 4 months old. And if you really feel like you need to be in a hurry about breeding that particular rooster, you can breed him that young. It's not going to hurt anything. As long as he's still in eggs, then that's fine. You know, and then the rooster, I guess, sometimes the old rooster will go sterile. And obviously, you know, sterile rooster's not a good age to breed a hen. But I think as long as a hen's productive, you know, and some hens like, certain breeds of show hens and game hens and wild type birds, they're only going to lay eggs in the spring. And so when a hen hatches, she has all the eggs in her that she'll ever produce. And if a hen lays an egg every day from the time she comes of age, then she'll run out of eggs at a younger age. Whereas a hen like an acil hen or some kind of game hen or some certain, you know, long tail hens and show hens or whatever, they may be 8 years old and still laying eggs, you know, but they only going to lay in the summertime or, you know, sporadically through the summer, whatever. They'll lay a clutch of eggs and they go broody and then raise those chicks and raise another clutch of eggs maybe a few months later. So
now,
as far as specifically what age, I think as long as they're old enough and not too old, I mean, you know, sometime between 6 months and 10 years, I guess.
Wow, 10 years. That's pushing it, I think.
No. Michael Aldridge, a friend of mine, had a rooster who was 15 years old and still spilling eggs. He raised chicks off of him like 2 years ago.
Wow, I've never heard one that old. My. Huh.
Yeah.
You know, and I was going to ask about these black chickens that I saw the picture of. They are so black. What color are their eggs? Are they good layers, or are they, like you said, just lay in spring and summer and slack off in the winter?
Well, they're mediocre layers. They lay better than like a game chicken, but not as good as like, you know, maybe a Rhode Island Red or a Leghorn or something like that. Some of them, it just depends on what's in them. When you say black chicken, you have a group of genes. You have fibromelanosis, which is the gene that makes their flesh black. Fibromelanosis means hypermelanization, which is just a lot of black pigment in the connective tissues, which is your skin, cartilage, tendons, and whatnot. And then you have several other genes, like what makes them black feathered. Everything affects fibromelanosis. If you have fibromelanosis on a wheaten bird that is white-legged, you're not going to see it like you will on a extended black bird that has, you know, dermal melanin like a Sumatra. And that's why you see a difference. Like you see Samani and you see Silky and you see a barred Silky. Does never look dark.
Mm-hmm.
They never look real dark in the flesh. And the reason is they have dermal melanin inhibitor, which is the barring gene. So you can put that gene or group of genes in any type of bird you want to. You can make fibromelanistic, you know, super black flesh, Japs, Old English, Dutch, you know,
now,
any kind
one
of,
thing,
like,
one thing Joe mentioned is that he had that people were preferring white turkeys from him because when you process the turkeys, when you pluck them, you don't notice any of the feathers quite as much.
The pin feathers. Yeah.
Right.
Now, if you have a black chicken with black feathers, does it work that way too? Do you ever process them for meat and find that?
Birds that are extended black or birchin or partridge will be as black in the flesh. They'll all be the same. But when you start looking at duckwing and wheaten birds, it doesn't matter what you have in them. They're not going to be as black in the flesh as your partridge and birchin and extended black birds. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't pluck chickens.
you don't process your chickens, okay?
No.
You
know, if I'm going to butcher a chicken, I'm going to skin him because I ain't got time to pluck a chicken. And I can skin one in about 25 seconds.
So I imagine that means you've done more than one in your life.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny because every once in a while I watch, you know, cooking shows on TV sometimes, and they always say, well, this is a black chicken, and so it's a skinny chicken, and it doesn't have much flesh on the bones, but that's just that particular kind of chicken. You can have a black chicken that's perfectly nice and meaty, right?
Absolutely. I got a yard for them.
I can hear them. Are those chickens I hear in the background?
Yeah, I had to come feed them. I just got home from work.
Well, you know, if there was ever a show that it was okay to have chicken sounds in the background, this is it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if it ain't okay, I don't want to be on it.
It's fun. I thought I was hearing chickens in the background. I thought, wow, this is good.
Different. Good sound effects. Yeah. Now, we're running out of time for the show, but I'm always fascinated. What color eggs do your chickens that are the black on black, what color eggs do they lay?
Some of them lay cream-colored eggs. Some of them lay a little bit more brown egg. I'm going to make some, hopefully this coming winter, that lay a green egg. But the black flesh and the egg color has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with each other. You can, like I said earlier, you can put the genes that make their flesh black, you can put that in any bloodline of chicken you want to do. If you want to make marrons that are fibromelanistic, you just do it.
Wow.
All you got to do is just put them together. And you select offspring that have fibromelanosis, and you breed those back to the marrons. And you select offspring that have fibromelanosis, and you breed them back to the marrons. And you do it again, and you do it again. And when you get them to where all the offspring seem to be marrons, except that they all have a copy of fibromelanosis, you start breeding them together.
And
so
that's,
you have
you
birds
know?
That have two copies of fibromelanosis. Next thing you know, you got them.
Wow, that's interesting.
That's how I made my oriental fibros.
That's right. You know, Will, I want to thank you so much. We are running out of time for this week's show.
Yeah. Thank you, Will.
All right. Well, thank you very much. You have a good day now.
Okay.
You too. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye.
Now, so Joe, if you ever want to color coordinate your flock, you know.
Now I know. That's it.
And you know me, I'm always fascinated by the color of eggs as opposed to the color of the birds, but that's just me. Joe, we are out of time for not only this segment, but this week's show.
Okay.
Now, if anybody wants to listen to the show anytime, it's on countryjoeschickenshow.com, and it's also on itunes.com, and we are ready to close out the show. Joe, will you say it with me?
Okay.
All right. The flock
be with you.